Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel. Got plenty of great new content up there that is available. YouTube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you do hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or upload any brand new content. Been doing that 11 a.m. show every single day on my YouTube channel, and I would love to get feedback from you guys. See what you're thinking of it. There's two ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. So yesterday was not the best day for me. You know, since my dad passed away, and you're not going to be hearing much more about it because, you know, like, I'm just been trying to be open with you guys. A lot of people want to know, like, oh, I'm tired of hearing about all this stuff. I share this type of stuff with you guys because, you know, like how I shared with when I tried to harm myself that day. I came in, I try to be open and honest with you guys and tell you every single thing in detail about my life. But yesterday I had one of the worst panic attacks that I've had in a while. I hadn't had one in quite some time. And I think it was all a result from just staying too busy. That was my answer of dealing with grief, was just staying busy. Plus, I was stressing out because this weekend is my dad's memorial party, celebration of life, whatever you want to call it. And I was nervous. I'm nervous about getting up and saying some stuff. But last night, I had that, like, little moment where I know exactly what I'm going to say. I was at peace. I felt so much better about it. And I'm excited to see a lot of my friends, family, people that I used to work with when I was an iron worker. You know, I think it's going to shock me how many people are actually coming out to it. We ended up having to rent one of those pavilions right here from the Volusia County Park Service. They told us they were only allowed to have 50 people there, but I know that there's going to be more than 50 people there. And, you know, I think that it'll be okay. I don't think the Volusia County Sheriff's Office is going to come break up a celebration of life just because there's too many people. You know, now if there's a couple hundred, it might become a problem then, but I don't think it's going to be. I got Colton coming over. I got my good friend Derek and Howard that I went to school with. The two guys that I grew up with, I think Richie, Big Dick Rich, who is Colton's friend. I met him through there. He's become a really, really great friend. And I'm not stressing about it now. I'm looking forward to this weekend being over with because I'm going to be able to, it's almost like turning a chapter. I'm not going to forget about my dad, but I think I'll be able to start healing a little bit more. And I know that it's different for every single person out there, but I just think after this weekend, things are going to become a little bit easier in my life because it's been hard. It's been hard preparing for this party. It's been hard preparing of what I'm going to say because I've been doing 3 shows a day, even though I didn't do one yesterday, and I do apologize for that. I really do. And I know that I shouldn't. I know that a lot of people reached out to me. Got to thank Drew Garabo, Brent Hatley for reaching out to me, checking on me, telling me that, you know, hey, don't worry about it. You got to work on yourself. I got to thank my good friend, Addy. Got to thank Amy Sinha, you know, the voiceover girl that does it. We become really, really good friends. We talk every single day. So I just got to thank everybody that has been there for me through this tough time. You know, since I work in an audio format, I know that I'm doing a lot of YouTube videos as well, too. I like to find news stories, to be able to find audio, to be able to play them and cut in and give my comments and stuff. Also not the best reader. I've gotten better over it over the years of, you know, I can read. It's just being able to produce it and make it sound like I'm not reading. But I wanted to talk about this story because I could not find an audio, like, report of it. But the headline reads, white TV news anchor suspended for wearing Afro wigs on air. See, now, I hate when the news tries to get funny, especially these morning shows and stuff. And they had to know better. You know, this isn't something that they did on their own. The producers, the PD, whatever behind the scenes had to know that they were going to be doing this. But to celebrate temperatures dipping into the 70s after a sweltering week-long heat wave, Arkansas's KATV anchor Chris May and meteorologist Barry Brandt wore Afro wigs. See, I already messed up. And viewers' reception was chilly. The Little Rock base station quickly suspended the two white news anchors and canned their boss. Okay, so yeah, they did know about it. After the broadcasters wore the African-American style hairpieces during an evening weather report, which aired at 10 p.m. on September 16th. Oh, get this ad out of here. See, I swear to God, I hate this. See, I'm being real, though. Swift action was important to hold the responsible parties accountable. A spokesperson told Adweek of the newscast, during the inflammatory segment dubbed Return to the 70s, May and Brandt sported wigs modeled after afros, a hairstyle popular nearly five decades ago. May later shared a Twitter photo of their controversial cosplay, which has since been deleted. I just don't get it. Like, it's not like they were wearing blackface. If Afro wigs were so just like, because African Americans can grow Afros. So if it's so offensive, then why are party stores? Why aren't people like actually, you know, boycotting Party World or all these Halloween stores for selling Afro wigs? I mean, those are the people you should be going after. The fraught forecast caught the attention of African-American activist Dr. Annika Whitfield, who issued a complaint to WATV in which she wrote that the stunt was a perpetuation of systematic racism to have a European-American wear an Afro wig. Are we really, is cancel culture getting that bad? See, maybe it's because I've worked in the type of radio where we just try to be shocking, we try to be offensive and stuff. And if I'm wrong, like I said, one of my favorite things in the world is to be wrong. And I would like to hear from you. Email me, tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. But like I said, if Afro wigs were so offensive, then why are they even being sold? I'm just asking a question. After receiving no response, Whitfield reached out to John Sabers at Sinclair Broadcast Group, vice president, group manager in charge of local stations in Arkansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. He issued the following apology. We apologize to all the viewers who were rightfully offended by the segment. And we promise to enact and enforce new measures to prevent future incidents from occurring. Sinclair has indefinitely suspended both May and Brandt, who have worked at the station for more than 20 years. So you're telling me, with the economy as bad as it is, people having a hard time finding jobs or people not wanting to work, we just fired two guys that were wearing Afro wigs. It's not like, once again, like I said, now, if they would have been wearing blackface, yes, that's a problem. But to wear Afro wigs that are sold at plenty of party stores and stuff, I really don't have a problem with it, but I'm also not African-American, so I would like to hear from you guys, just like I said. Before I get into my next segment, I got an interview with Tanya French. She wrote a book it goes by Just the Tip. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to interview her, because it's a great title for a book. but she has been a bartender for quite some time, and she wrote a book about all the stories and behind-the-scenes stuff that's gone on, and I got to tell you, it was a great interview. But before I get into that, I got to thank my newest sponsor, Ian Hanna. If you're in the market to sell a house in the Brevard, Flagler, or Volusia County areas, you need to go to IanHannaHomes.com. Even if you're not looking for one, if you know somebody that is, tell them to check out my good friend, Ian Hanna. I'm going to have him on the show soon to talk about the real estate market and how it's going right now. And I can't wait for that interview. But check him out and go to IanHannaHomes.com. All right, guys, welcome back to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. This is one I usually don't do. I only do audio interviews, but with my male audience, I'm sorry, I had to put you on because I know that they would definitely like to see this one. So this is going to be up on my YouTube channel as well as my podcast. But my next guest is Tanya Fritsch, and she's got a book out called Just the Tip. And I find it very, very interesting. Because there's a lot of these stories that I'm sure that the bartenders all have. And I can only imagine. I can't wait to get into this book. How are you today, Tanya?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So what area of the United States are you? I mean, you don't have to say where. I'm not like asking for your home address or anything like that. But like what part of the US do you live?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. You've been there born and raised? Tar Heel?
No. So I'm originally from Illinois and moved to Virginia throughout my like teenage years. And now I've been here since I've been like 21. So my adult life has been North Carolina.
So you kind of have picked up a little bit of a, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina twang, that Virginia. I think a little bit for, you know, being born in Illinois and stuff.
Sure.
Now, tell people a little bit about your book. What inspired you to want to write this? You know, there's a lot of people that have ideas for books and stuff, but what was your inspiration to want to do it?
Yeah, so I mean, I've always been into writing and reading, and I remember when I was like 20, I wanted to write a book, and then I was like, what am I going to write a book about? I know nothing. I mean, I'm not skilled in one specific area where people are actually going to want to read about my life. And, you know, fortunately, my life has been pretty boring in the sense I haven't had any, you know, horrible tragedies or horrible, you know, life lessons I had to learn in that sense. So I was like, anything I write about is going to be kind of boring. And then I'm literally at my job thinking about this. And I was a waitress at the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, you should just write about this. This is the one thing you know everything about. And the one thing that people are either going to bars to drink or they are working on the other side of a bar. So I figured everybody could relate to these stories. And I just started writing stories on my notepad on when I was waitressing, anything funny that happened, crazy, weird. And I kind of collected stories for the last 10 years now.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that. See, you got to understand, I'm in the process of building a studio. As you can tell, I'm doing the damn thing out of my Ford F-150. But my audience has been growing. People just, I don't get phone calls all day long until I start doing interviews. And then everybody wants to start calling me and stuff. Now, the name of the book is Just the Tip. Now, your idea for that name, because I got to tell you, it's brilliant. The title alone is going to get people to be like, oh, I got to check this out.
Yeah, it was my idea. At the time, it was a phrase that was being passed around. I know when I was like 20, 21, you know, I worked in the industry. So a lot of the guy bartenders would be like, just the tip. You know, it just became this thing.
It's a sexual innuendo, though. It is. And that's going to be, you know, eye-catching. And I like the cover of the book as well, too. Now, is that you holding, you know, like the book itself? It is you.
It's like a mock version of me.
Okay.
So
okay.
I kind of told the designer what I wanted and she kind of helped me put it together.
Oh, very, very nice. So now let's get into this. How did you get into bartending? Because, you know, I have worked with a lot of people in the service industry. That there's a lot of interrelationships and stuff, like with servers and waitresses and cooks and everything down the line. So I can't even imagine some of the stories. But so what got you into being a bartender? I think you were a server first, correct?
Yeah, I actually started off as a hostess. So I went through everything.
What restaurant?
Ruby Tuesdays.
Okay.
It was my first restaurant job. So, at that point, obviously, I'm just walking people to a table and dropping them off and never having to deal with them again. And I used to, I was so bored with that job because, it can be boring. But my boss was like, hey, I turned 18. He was like, do you want to start waitressing? Which I was like, yeah, more money. Of course I'll work for tips. And then I soon realized how I'd rather be a host in that sense because every table started sucking.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, as a host, do they share tips with you or are you not getting anything?
No, you're not. You're getting an hourly wage usually. Sometimes places will give you a tip out. So you might make an extra $20 on, on top of your night, but nothing. It's not required in most places.
Now I've talked to a lot of waitresses and stuff, and I hate it. They hate it whenever they got to share tip with the rest of the other people. What would you prefer? Do you like the, keep what you kill type thing? People always use that saying, or share tip. What's the better version?
Waitressing, I prefer to keep my own tips because you're with that table for an hour sometimes. So you are really putting in the work to get your tip, based on your service and your conversations and your entertainment. Bartending, we always share tips, and I don't have a problem with that. I do high volume bartending, so we're all pulling our own weight. So I like that we're all pulling in the money, at the same time, because the more people we can get to, the more money we make.
Now, is it all do women bartenders, for example, you'll get bachelorette parties that'll go to a bar and stuff. And of course, the good looking guy is probably going to do very well in tips. But is it ratio wise, do women get better tips than men?
I don't know. I think at some places that used to be a thing, I think more so. But honestly, we have some guys I work with and they have a lot of regulars that come in, guys and girls. And, people want to bro out with them and they pull in really good money. I'm happy they're there with us.
So what is one of the worst tables or you busted your ass off all day long and it's a big table. You went over the top to make sure that they're taken care of. What's the worst you've ever gotten stiffed on? Just gotten the absolute horrible tip.
Yeah, I actually remember, I feel like one of my tables, it was these four guys and they were from overseas somewhere. They were actually with another waitress when they got there, but they stayed for 5 hours. So the other waitress had gotten cut and she wanted to transfer the table to me. So I said, that's fine, I'm closing anyways. And she transferred it to me. Their bill was probably $400. By that point, just based on drinks, they weren't eating or anything. And they didn't quite stiff me. They tipped me $2 $400 and they were there 5 hours.
That I live in Central Florida and, we have all the theme parks in the Orlando area. And a lot of people don't know this. In other countries, they don't tip. It's not so when you get people from other countries and stuff like that, I'm not saying anything bad. It's just what they're accustomed to.
Yeah. And that's something we're used to hearing in the service industry too. In Europe, they don't tip. It's just included in, servers' wages. My response, maybe not the best, has always been, they're totally capable of Googling our tipping policies before they travel. And I would do the same if I went somewhere, I kind of don't like people using that as an excuse, because if I go to China, I'm definitely going to Google practices there, how I should act when I go out to eat. Do I tip the bartender? Is it disrespectful if I do? I mean, just to make sure I understand their culture, you know, so for them to blame it on, you know, certain people in certain areas say, well, we just don't do that where I'm from. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of plain. You're just being cheap and naive. Like, I don't like that.
You know, when I was a producer for a nighttime radio show in Orlando at a FM talk station, I was a producer for Drew Garabo. And, you know, he worked for Darden Industry. Like, he was wanting to go into, like, all the, you know, service industry. He wanted to become a manager. Because a lot of people don't realize, like, you can make a very good career out of working in the service industry, especially in the Orlando area, you know, because Darden, yeah, I think it's like Olive Garden, you know, Red Lobster, all that type of place. I love their cheesy biscuits, by the way. But he told me, he said, being a waiter helped prepare him to be a broadcaster because it does help you with your communication skills and being able to communicate with people that might not be like the nicest people in the world, that you got to put on a smiley face or whatever it may be. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Serving and bartending has helped me get every single job outside of that. I usually always have like day job and my night job just because I'm a workaholic. But I would say it's prepared me for every job I've ever gotten. My interviews go so well because I'm able to communicate with them. And you'll be surprised because I actually, I recruit people for jobs during the day. And you would be surprised at the lack of like communication skills and even just basic eye contact
yeah.
That people provide. So,
no, eye contact is very, very important when it comes to, you know, making a connection with people. Now, I want to get into this. What is single, dating, married? What is your status when it comes to that?
Dating right now.
All right. So go ahead and answer, and then I got a follow up question to that. Sorry.
No, I think that's all I have for that.
Okay. All right. So like, has there, you know, with through your dating life, has there been like any jealousy because, you know, you're there, you're serving, you're talking to guys, and I'm sure that they want to be able to, like, you know, make a connection with you. Has there ever been any jealousy?
No, actually, I don't think so. It honestly depends on the relationship. All the guys I have dated, you know, dated me knowing I was a bartender. So I think that was never an issue. I don't think they thought they were getting into something that they weren't. The first guy I dated was actually worked in the industry as well. So definitely there was nothing, you know, no jealousy on his part there. You know, we knew we were like kind of flirting to make more money. So, but yeah, no, I've never had a boyfriend actually comment on that. The biggest thing with dating for a bartender I've had is the schedule. You know, they don't get to see you on Friday and Saturdays. It's hard to do like date nights or weekend getaways, you know, things like that.
What's the best tip night?
Tip night?
Yeah, like for day, you know, like what day is usually the best, you know, in general when it comes to tip? Weekends?
Yeah, weekends for sure. Usually Saturday night for some reason. I think people are just ready to finish out their weekend strong. Sundays are really good too, actually, because you get a lot of service industry that comes out on Sundays. So, you know, your tips are always like tremendous, even though it's not as busy as a Saturday. I would say you actually make really good money on Sunday night too, depending on what bar you work at.
What is the closing time for you guys up in North Carolina?
2 a.m.
2 a.m. Yeah, see, in Tampa, I worked in Tampa the last 10 years. I think Tampa is a little bit later. I think it might even be 3 or 4 maybe.
Wow.
and to get to that, I wanted to ask, like, you know, there's a lot of problems with DUIs, people, you know, drunk driving and stuff. Like, how do you determine? Because, like, I don't know how I feel about this. You're a server, you know, like some people have higher tolerances and stuff. How do you make that determination? Like, and legally, can you be held responsible for over-serving?
Yeah, legally you can be. I feel like it's a hard thing to prove, honestly, because, you know, they would have to say this was the last bar this person was at. We have you on camera serving him 20 shots in 1 hour. I mean, it has to be a lot of things for you. You know, people bar hop. It's hard to tell what people's tolerances are also, because they can be fine 1 minute, but maybe that fifth shot that they took at the previous bar hasn't hit them yet. And so you give them one drink, and I've served people one drink, and the next minute their face is down on the bar. And I'm like, what just happened?
Something else I wanted to ask you, you being a woman, do you keep an eye out, you know, I know you stay pretty busy, but like people, you know, maybe dropping something in somebody's drink or something. Have you ever like seen that happen as a bartender?
I've not seen it happen like in front of me. I've had people come back to certain bars I've worked at in the past and say they think something happened because they didn't remember the rest of their night. I'm really good about watching out for, honestly, girls or guys. I know it sounds like guys are like, well, we don't get drugged, but sometimes they do.
Oh, no, I did. Yeah, I did. And in Orlando, they were doing it to couples. I was going out with a girl that I was dating. And, you know, they were drugging the couples and waiting for them to leave. And then they would like rob them because they would be out.
Yeah, exactly. So I always watch people's drinks. If I feel like, you know, someone's hanging around that they don't know, I'm really good about seeing what's going on. I also, you know, if you ever leave to go to the bathroom, I usually throw your drink away. I don't like when I'll give you a new drink when you come back. And a lot of people are like, hey, what'd you do with my drink? And I'm like, do not leave your drink unattended for not even 5 minutes. It's not a good look.
How has the pandemic, it's really, really hurt a lot of the service industry. Like, I'm sure that it probably put a hurting in your pocket, right?
Yeah, I mean, my bar closed down for 6 months during COVID. So, you know, as of March 2020 on St. Patrick's Day, we were done. Doors were locked and we all had a 6 month summer, I guess you would say, because when we came back, it kind of felt like coming back to college. I was like, hey guys, we all survived the pandemic. But yeah, it hurt a lot of business owners, I would say. You know, like the owners of my bar, they own the building, which helped a lot. They weren't consistently having to, you know, pay that rent that they weren't receiving. But a lot of bars shut down in Raleigh, and I'm sure all over the United States. But it hurt a lot of us. We all had to find second jobs, you know, maybe start doing Uber Eats, anything we really could until the bars opened back up. So
have you ever, all right, well, I got all types of questions. I told you that I prepared for this interview. So,
yeah, it's okay.
what's the best holiday when it comes to tip?
St. Patrick's Day for sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because, oh, you know, it's always funny. It's either St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo, you know, like, yeah. Because it's funny, Americans, you know, even though we're all immigrants anyways to this country, it's like, would they just love to go out, you know, Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day. They just love to get hammered. They just love to get beard up and everything. So I could imagine that those would be two very popular days. Now, have you ever... What does the future hold for you though? Like, you know, you've learned all this. You started out as a hostess, you became a waitress, then a bartender. Do you see yourself one day owning your own establishment?
So I'm not quite sure yet. I mean, at one time that was the goal, I think. I think it's a lot of bartenders' goals. And it still could be. I'm definitely would be into running my own establishment. I think I definitely have all the knowledge to do that. It's very stressful though, you know, to own your own establishment. There's a lot of overhead. There's just a lot of things you have to think about. So it's, you know, I would have to see if I want to go in that way. Part of me, you know, eventually just wants to like have my time in the bar industry and then maybe move on to something else, maybe still guest bartending, maybe doing travel bartending, something different, maybe, you know, perfecting my skill a little bit more. But I've been in the industry for like 16 years now. So everybody's like, are you ever going to get out? And I'm like, it's hard to get out because I really enjoy it. It's fun.
You're making it seem like it's the mob or something. Like,
they never let you go.
All right. So, I mean, we want people to buy the book. It's called Just a Tip. How can they find it?
Yeah, they can find it on Amazon. Just type in Just the Tip. It'll come up. You'll see it. You know, a picture of the girl holding money. And I think it's the only book that comes up unless you keep scrolling. So definitely check it out. And honestly, it's been getting a lot of good reviews lately.
Are you going to do book on tape?
I am. I'm actually starting to record my Audible next week.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
I'm kind of dreading it, to be honest, because I think it's going to be a lot of work, but I'm excited for it.
All right. Well, you know, we want people to read the book, okay? But just give me a little taste. What is the most scandalous part of the book? Like, you know, something that's, you know, give me that one, you know, juicy thing, that an example. You don't have to go into complete detail, but, you know, trying to tease us a little bit. Give us just a tip.
Oh man, there's so many stories. So a lot of them are actually more on the funny side. But you know, I'll just give you like a general view. There's a lot of stories about, obviously, like you said, there's hookups in the industry. A lot of people, you know, we're around each other 24/7. We're around each other till 3 a.m. Sometimes they're after shift drinks. So there's some pretty crazy stories in there, maybe not so much of what I experienced personally, but what I've noticed going on around me. That and just basic, I even say this on the back of my book, basic human failing when alcohol is involved. I mean, all these stories are obviously people who have been drinking. So, I mean, you can imagine your worst story while drinking. It's probably in my book. So I would say, you know, it's a lot of funny stories, but a lot of stories that you're going to be able to relate to and be like, oh my God, I was that person.
Will your boss get on you if you're too much of a heavy pourer? Because you being a heavy pourer is going to get you better tip, but you're also eating up the profits of the guy that's owning the establishment.
Yeah, we have a certain pour that we have to do, in the sense they audit our liquor. So every week, most bars do this. They kind of weigh and scan bottles, and they see how many shots were sold, how many shots were actually received. But, you know, there are ways to pour a little heavy on some people and then, you know, just pour normal on others. You know, just being in the industry, I've learned a lot of tricks with that. I don't think they would get mad so much. Obviously, we can't hook everybody up, but you just got to make sure you're not giving away the house either.
Have you ever, or any of the people you worked with, had like a guy that, I hate to use the word stalker, but just somebody that was just infatuated with a certain bartender and it became a problem? Like, you know, like, I don't know. I could sit here and ask you questions all day long about it.
Oh, for sure. There's a lot of, we call them regulars. A lot of regulars are awesome. We love regular business. We love that you come in and you know us. There has been, I mean, my personal experience, I even have this going on right now. There's people that come in and they do, they're there for you. I mean, they're definitely, they make comments where they, you know, they want to take you out, even if you're like, I'm seeing somebody. They just won't give up, really. I don't know so much if I would say they were like stalking or they're going to, you know, take that further. Who knows? I don't know that. Mm-hmm. But definitely people become, you know, they're into you. Like, I don't know if it's an infatuation with the way you look or just because you're a nice bartender or you pour their favorite drink. I'm not sure. But guys and girls behind the bar, you definitely have those a lot.
All right. Hey, Tanya, I really appreciate this interview. Once again, tell people the name of the book and where they can find it.
Yeah, so it's Just the Tip from Tanya. My name, Tanya Fritsch, on Amazon. And then you can also follow me on Instagram if you want to like see kind of behind the scenes of what I'm doing with my book and bartending. And that's just Tanya.Fritsch, my first last name.
All right, Tanya, hopefully you enjoyed this interview. Hopefully I didn't ask anything offensive or offend you at all.
No, not at all. I can't really get offended.
All right, Tanya, I hope you have a wonderful day and thank you for the opportunity. I would love to catch up with you at a later date if you have any other like good stories.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
All right. I congratulations on the book.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What? What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.